if you sure did, that kid vote just really, no, it's really my first time.
There you go.
Well, the one thing that guy, the guy's got a.
Talking, dude.
Welcome to the Massaquan School District Board of Education Combined Committee of the Whole Meeting and Regular Public Board of Education Meeting for September 15th, 2020. Call to order, 48-hour notice. Opening statement pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10, notices of this meeting has been provided in publication in Asbury Park Press, Coast Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Sandy.
Mr. Boldeman?
Here.
Mrs. Fasson?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Here.
Mr. Patani?
Here.
Mr. Fiore? Mr. Hobiter? Mr. Angolia?
Here.
Mr. Lenhardt? Mr. Lucretto?
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Here.
Mrs. Pollock?
Here.
Mr. Serino?
Here.
We have quorum.
Sandy, Mark Fury is here, and he's on the phone.
Oh, okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I didn't hear that.
Got you covered, Mark.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Our mission statement, Massaquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and rich traditions through partnership with the community. Statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment, and in many cases, by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda for the next combined Committee of the Whole and regular public board meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to ensure that they fully understand the matter. After discussion during the Committee of the Whole portion of the meeting, the matter is focused on during a regular public board meeting agenda and presented to the Board of Education for a vote. Acceptance of minutes. Recommend the acceptance of and the approval of the minutes of the combined Committee of the Whole, a regular public meeting, and closed executive session of August 13, 2020. Executive session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such time as the reason for discussing and acting on a matter in executive closed session no longer exists. Do we have a motion to accept the minutes?
Yes.
Mr. Serino? Mrs. Pollock?
Mr. Boldeman?
Yes.
Mrs. Fasson?
Abstain.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Patani?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Mr. Fiore?
Abstain.
Mr. Angolia?
Yes.
Abstain.
Okay, got it.
Mr. Lucretto?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Motion carried.
We have no student board representatives tonight, so we'll move on to our presentations. And we'll start with our only presentation, New Roads Construction.
Good evening. It's nice to see everybody in person again. Let's save this. Update that I've got is on the referendum project. Do you have the remote? Thank you. Total budget for the project, $8.646 million. The base scope of the project is replacement of HVAC equipment in the 31 and 95 sections of the high school, along with new HVAC controls and upgrades to the fire alarm system. That contract was awarded to Thermal Piping back in November of 2019, and Thermal Piping mobilized about 9 months ago. At this point in the project, both of the chillers, CH1 and 2, are operational. All of the classroom univents that provide ventilation and air conditioning are now functional in all of the classrooms. There are five air handling units. Of those five, one, two, and five are operational. And the energy recovery units, which are used to temper the air that's being brought into the building, those two units are also operational. Air handlers three and four are not currently working. There were main fuses that when those units were shipped from the factory, those fuses were defective. Fortunately, those two units only affect a very small part of the high school. It's the TV studio and the adjacent music room. So those are the only two rooms that we do not have functional AC on at this point. The work in the boiler room is essentially complete. All of the boilers have been installed, the new boilers, two for the 1931 wing, two for the 1995 wing. They are in place with the burners, their circ pumps, and the variable frequency drives for those pumps. The boiler controls have been installed, currently being programmed, and we're expecting that the boiler piping and associated heating system will be ready to go before the heating season begins. The unofficial beginning of heat season is October the 15th. A change order for the expansion of the fire alarm system was approved at the end of May. That work will essentially replace all of the fire alarm system except for the work that was done back in 2017 with a system that's very similar to the one that's currently in place at the elementary school. We're expecting the fire alarm work to be complete by the end of November. The existing fire alarm system has to remain operational until the new system has been tested and accepted, and that work is continuing on a second shift basis. Some additional projects outside of the referendum scope. Cafeteria floor refinishing is complete. There's a little bit of code-based work that has to be done. The gymnasium renovations, which consists largely of new wood flooring, expanded seating, and improvements to the lighting, that work is well underway. The gym flooring, all of the new wood floor is down. Painting and the poly finish on that is being applied this week. Bleacher installation is scheduled for November the 2nd to November the 16th, and there's also going to be some curtains installed in the gym. Change orders, we've seen these before. First one was to prepare the laydown and storage area. Second one was to take care of the vinyl asbestos tile that was present in the cafeteria. And the third one, the most significant one, was $424,000 for the fire alarm system. Currently, we have an overall project contingency, meaning unencumbered funds plus the small construction contingency of about $975,000, which is pretty darn good for an $8.5 million project. A couple of progress photos. Upper left is the roof of the 1931 wing, so you can see the new rooftop units, and the chiller is visible in at the front. At the right hand side of that. Second photo, upper right, was the crane day. That was August the 20th. So they're setting rooftop unit number five. Bottom left, chiller number one, which is above the locker rooms. And then bottom right is a typical classroom. This was before the furniture got put back into the rooms. That particular room, 112, happens to have two new unit vents. Upper left on this slide is the refinished cafeteria flooring with the new cafeteria service line. Below that, you can see another view of the cafeteria flooring. And then top right is the gym floor. Not quite refinished at the time of this photo. That work is still in progress as of today. With that, I'm open to any questions.
as I look around, we had a balancing commission meeting today. We're now at the end of our project. The balancing commissioning agents come in to make sure all the equipment is securely functioning.
Yes.
And I sat there and I was just thinking about what we did this summer. New cafeteria floor, new paint in the hallways, new floors in the hallways, brand new gym, new lights throughout the first floor and second floor, new HVAC system, new lights and new floors in the elementary school in Pod B. And I wondered how we got it all done without running into any problems. Now, you always talk about companies. We have thermal piping and we have new road construction. That means nothing. It's the people that were here that actually took a commitment in our school district that made this happen. And we are on time and under budget again. Not because of the companies that worked here, because of the people that represented them. And one of the persons who was most outstanding in all this isn't even here tonight. Matt Hudson looked at these projects like he was working on his own home. He lost sleep over them. He worked with Rob. He worked with Joe to make sure these things happen. And the one constant that's been here throughout all the projects that we've done has been Rob Notley and Joe McDermott. When we interviewed New Road Construction, I specifically said, I don't want New Road Construction. I want Joe McDermott and Rob Notley. And here's why. The project was done flawlessly. I had nightmares about this before it started, but it was done in stride with very little difficulty. I have to thank Ron Goldsmith for that, who's always there for us, and Mark LaRusso. We were very close to not having air conditioning in our building to start the school year, which in a COVID-19 environment would have been catastrophic. Rob heard about that. He got on the phone. He got the parts we needed to make sure it happened in all the classrooms, although there were three classrooms because we couldn't get those parts shipped here. Not three classrooms, it was the TV studio, the chorus room, and one classroom, but everything else had it. So as we go through these presentations, I want you to realize that it was the commitment that people made, not for a paycheck, but because of pride and ownership and being part of the Manasquan School District. And I couldn't let you leave tonight without having to tell you my gratitude for all you did to make my life easier. I didn't get any more sleep, but you did make it easier for us because we got it done with very little problem and on time and under budget. And Dr. Crowley, you haven't even been here a year, and you were integral to all the success we have, and I want to thank you for that.
Thank you.
So it's all about people, not about construction companies, and we had the right people surrounding us to make a difference. Thank you.
I appreciate that very much, and I'm glad that I gave the impression that this was done with little or no difficulty.
That's why you get paid, so yeah. I think that.
Yeah. I'm a little like a duck. Look really calm on the surface, but underneath I'm going like that.
Okay.
So, yeah, but thank you. You know, Manasquan is a wonderful client for us. We're happy to do the work with you. And it really was a team effort between New Road, Kelter and Gilligo as the consulting engineer, and as you noted, Thermal Piping, Ron Goldsmith, and all of their subs were really very committed to this project, and were there whenever we needed them.
Yeah, you have been. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And certainly Matt Hudson is you know the $6 million man.
Yeah, he lives it. And I appreciate that. Pride and ownership, very important to us.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't want to steal your remote, even after all.
No, Jesse will chase you down.
There you go.
So that's our only presentation for this evening, so we'll move on to the principal reports.
Well, we have one more presentation.
Oh, we do. We have one more presentation.
And I don't know if they're here tonight. But I got a letter on July 8th, 2020, from a family in town. Our family would like to donate this class picture from 1941 on behalf of Bernice Feinster Brown to the High School Historical Society Museum or place most suitable for this. This is a gift. We hope that future generations will be able to enjoy this snapshot of history. Thank you for your assistance in finding the appropriate home for this item. Thank you, Julie and Kelly Vasilis, granddaughters of Bernice Brown. Are they here this evening? I want to thank them for this. And I did take a lot of time looking through this photograph to see if Jeff Osborne was in this picture from 1941. Because he always seemed to be here in Manasquan. And he's still here today, as I can see his picture on the wall. But I couldn't find him, so I guess he was here after this. But I want to thank them. This is a piece of history. It says a lot about our traditions, and traditions are wonderful. And as our students know, every new class creates new traditions for us. And this will be going someplace that Rob decides you'd like to put it in the high school. If not, it's going to go in central administration, because I think this is awesome. Thank you. We're gladly accepting this this evening. That ends our presentation.
So that moves on to our principal reports.
Well, everyone, thank you for having me here tonight. It's great to see everyone in person. And Dr. Cajun, if you don't mind me sharing this, the conversation between the two of us, Dr. Cajun never told me that the air conditioning may not be ready for school. He just told me when it turned on, how's your office? And I told him it's a lot better than last year. So I was able to get some sleep before the opening. So thank you, Dr. Cajun, for keeping that. Echoing what Dr. Cajun said, that there was a incredible team effort, months of planning to get the building ready, to get the staff ready for when the rubber hit the road last Wednesday, when we finally had students back in the building. And first, I want to just thank all of my colleagues at Central Office, support from the board, and my colleagues at the building level, the teachers, and especially Matt Hudson and the custodial and maintenance staff for all of the work that they did to get this building opening. A small silver lining in all of these challenges were that we were able to really do incredible upgrades to the building. And it was just an incredible effort by everyone. And then last Wednesday morning, when those students showed up to school and I saw their smiling faces through the mask, it made all the effort worth it. Mr. Place? So just to recap a lot of the things that we did to make sure we had a great school opening and relieve some of the anxiety of everybody coming back to the building. From an operation and organizational standpoint, we made sure that all of our students in the morning are COVID pre-screened for symptoms upon entry to the high school, and that includes temperature checks. So at every entrance to the high school, they go through a pre-screening, and we make sure that they're all feeling well and that they're having their temperature checked. All of our classrooms have been socially distanced, depending on each size, for the number of desks we could fit in those rooms, and they're 6 feet apart, front to front and side to side. I know there were some questions about that, but a great job by our maintenance group to get that going. The students are divided, of course, by alphabet as part of our reopening plan. We have alternating schedule. We have a blue day, which is A through L, and we have a gray day, M through Z. The hallways and large meeting areas, CAF, including this media center, an auditorium, when the students are here, are marked for social distance, so all of the students are 6 feet apart. We do have 91 students at the high school participating in an all virtual experience in our core courses. It's off to a good start. All of our teachers, thanks to the generosity of Dr. Cajun and the board, have office hours to provide check-ins with students who are operating remotely and virtually from home. Our students are dismissed systematically for social distance by classrooms as they go on to their practice fields, or they go home, or they get on buses. That's been done in a very orderly fashion to maintain safety and social distance. And then, like Dr. Cajun said, mentioning Matt Hudson again, his staff has been thoroughly cleaning the entire building every day and on the weekend. So all in all, we had a very successful opening in terms of our operations, bringing the students back and staff for the first time. And I'm very proud of the joint effort that we accomplished here at the high school. That's just an example. You saw the completed renovation of our cafeteria, and you see the setup for social distance and safety. We've been using it for meeting places, and also, of course, the kids, for the first time today, ate lunch today in a very orderly fashion. We also returned to fall sports and activities. We are following all the NJSIAA protocols. All students before practice are checked for symptoms, and they receive a temperature check. They wear masks when they're not in activity. And I went all around the facility today, and everyone was very compliant on our first day back to practice. Thank you again for having me back. Next month, I hope to start talking about new program development and follow through on some of the things that we talked about last year. And just thank you for having me tonight. If anyone has any questions.
Mr. Goodall, have we had to hold any students out of school or sports during this screening process so far?
Just through information shared by parents, they've decided to keep their students home.
Sure.
Virtually, some of them have changed schedule based on level of comfort. And, you know, there was a notice sent out that we had a staff member that's quarantined.
Sure. Thank you.
How has it been getting into the school with everybody getting a temperature check? Has it been?
It's been.
Hold-ups or?
Yep. Thank you for your generosity in getting all of the resources we needed, the temperature machine at the main entrance and the temperature guns that made it very efficient. And the kids get through. They're not missing a beat. It's become very quickly normal, system of life here in the morning. The kids expect it, and they've been very compliant, and every kid comes up wearing masks. It's not been an issue at all. They want to be back in school, so they're compliant and cooperating. You know, we appreciate that.
Thank you.
Mr.
Yeah.
Yes. How are the kids handling the whole COVID thing? Are they seem okay with everything now because they've been dealing with it for a few months?
Yeah, I think the vast majority of them are thrilled to be back in school, thrilled to see their friends in the school environment, getting back involved in activities and athletics, seeing their teachers face to face.
Did they seem stressed at all?
Maybe some initial concern for a small portion of students, but overall, I think the kids are very excited. We have correspondences with some of the kids who may have had some concern coming back, and they chose the virtual options. So we're trying to be as inclusive of those students here while they're home until everybody is safe to return.
Thank you.
If I could ask one more question,
sure.
Mr. Goodall. For students that are coming in for live, that they have, one day home, one day in school, is there a direction for teachers to teach live virtually? Is it up to the teacher's discretion? If a student is home, are they seeing the same thing that is being taught in the classroom, or are we kind of leaving that up to the teacher?
They have been exposed to the tool using the technology. We're at a one-to-one initiative where they could use live streaming. Many of them are taking advantage of it. It hasn't been mandated because some of the direction that came from the NJEA about live streaming, but our teachers have been using the tool very effectively, and you know, we're coaching them to use the tool appropriately and lessen the concern about using it. But, you know, it's also at their discretion. And live streaming, depending on the activity that they're doing for the day, it's either appropriate or it's not. Sometimes you don't have to do that. Some of our less experienced teachers who have come in more tech savvy really organically has been growing screencasting for teachers who are maybe uncomfortable being on camera live, but have been able to use the tool to talk to talkovers on PowerPoints and other types of presentations.
Great.
And this is all ongoing and new. Anytime there's a change, schedule change, you know, course change, it's all ongoing, and you're just trying to establish a great continuity of instruction so they get the most out of the experience.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
Good evening, everyone. And yes, it is so nice to be back in person, and welcome to a new school year. As Mr. Goodall said, it was a very different opening, but a wonderful opening. And I have to thank a lot of people for that, starting with our teachers. The work that they put into getting their classrooms ready to start the school year off, rethinking their instructional program. I cannot give them enough credit of how hard they worked this summer. Our entire staff, secretaries, the amazing work that they did, you know, for our offices. And as shared earlier, I cannot thank our custodial staff enough. The work that they did this summer was absolutely amazing to see. And I have to also thank Matt Hudson and thank Dr. Crawley for their support, because without their hard, tremendous hard work, the facilities work would not have been able to be accomplished for us to be able to open. So I do thank everyone for that. And the parents, I have to thank our parents. A lot of information went home to them over the last couple of weeks before school. We needed a lot of cooperation from them also. And the parents stepped up to the plate and did everything that we asked to also help ensure a very smooth opening. And on to the children. They are resilient, and we know that. And as Mr. Goodall said, you could see they are so happy to be back. We're thrilled to have them back in the building, but they are so happy to be back in the classroom with their teachers and their peers. And again, watching them get into a routine so quickly, the arrival and dismissal procedures, the different entrances that we have in place, knowing where to stand, where to walk, being socially distanced, their temperatures taken, all the decals that are on the floors throughout the building, knowing the traffic patterns, where to sit in the cafeteria, what to do on the playground. It has been absolutely amazing to watch how resilient our kids are. To move on to our virtual learning, our virtual learning platform is also in place. We're using MS Teams. In the building, we have 40 students who selected the virtual option. 24 of them are our kindergarten through fourth graders. I have 3 full-time virtual teachers on staff that are working in the building. And they also asked me to send a thank you out to the parents, because they have had to send information home to the parents of the remote learners about the platform that they were using, how to use that platform, the schedule that was going to be in place, and they're working together with their children at home to make that program successful. So we are off to a very good start with our virtual learning. Right now, the teachers are starting to prepare for our back-to-school night programs next week. Next Thursday is our K-to-preschool through fourth grade program. Again, we'll be using the MS Teams Microsoft platform. The teachers right now are preparing their programs. We're going to be working, we're going to be putting together a staggered schedule, starting at 6 o'clock and staggering at preschool, kindergarten, then first and second and third and fourth, to try to help families that have more than one child in different grade levels. The presentations will be 45 minutes, a half an hour presentation by the teachers live on the platform, and then a time for questions and answers from the parents. So we are looking forward to that. Completely new to all of us doing a virtual back to school night, but everyone is working very hard to prepare for it, and I have to thank Lisa Kokoda. She has been working very closely with all of our teachers to help them on a variety of different things this year to start the school year off, and right now she's currently working, helping them with getting their programs together and the links for the parents for our back-to-school night program. We're also preparing next Friday for our first full remote learning day. And again, the teachers will be sending home information to the parents so they know how that day is going to look. That first day is going to be a learning experience. Even though we were remote from March through June, this is still a new school year, new teachers, new classroom, new program. So the first day next week, we'll be working with parents, helping them learn the MS Teams platform and how what a virtual day would look like. It's a practice experience, just in case we do have to go remote for a period of time. And again, I have to thank Lisa Kokoda, because she is, again, working with our teachers on that as well. I wanted to take a minute to thank Margaret Pollock. She worked very hard again this year to prepare our Warrior Clubhouse, our before and after care program. And that is up and running. We have 10 children participating in the morning, 15 in the afternoon. Again, the hours of before care, parents have the option availability to bring their children in as of 7:15, and the aftercare does go until 6 o'clock. And it's off to a good start. The staff that is working on the program, they have a new routine in place, and we're very pleased to see that program back again. And the last thing I wanted to mention is our first virtual PTO meeting. I wanted to kind of give a shout out to our PTO. They had as of the end of the school year, they were not able to follow through with the big fundraisers that they had in place that usually generate the monies that they need for the programs that we have. So they're starting off a little behind in that area and a little frustrated that so many of the wonderful activities that we do at the beginning of the school year, we have to postpone right now. So they are being extremely creative and they're working together to come up with other ideas that can be done virtually, some activities with the children, and some other fundraising ideas to get the school year off, started off on a good foot under the circumstances. And they're starting with their first PTO meeting being virtual. Right now they're working on which platform they're going to be using. So as soon as we have that information, we'll be putting it out to the parents, and hopefully we'll get a lot of people to join in to talk about how we can move the PTO in a new direction, at least for the start of the school year. So again, it was a very different opening to the school year, but a very, very wonderful one. And we are off to a great start, and it is so good to be back.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Quick one. Uh-huh. How are lunches going?
Actually, today was, well, we started with the 12:30 dismissals. We moved right into a routine because mm-hmm. they just had a snack during their lunchtime. Mm-hmm. So we actually got into a routine as of the first day. Mm-hmm. And today was the first full day, so today they have a longer time to eat and to go outside. And having the two different areas, we wouldn't have been able to do it without that. Mm-hmm. But by having the cafeteria and then converting part of our gymnasium to the other eating area, other cafeteria, we're able to go in and out. One grade level goes out, one comes in, and it provides time for the tables to be cleaned by our custodial and cafeteria staff. And the children, once again, fell right into a routine of where to sit. The tables are appropriately distanced, and only three at a table with the children 6 feet apart. We have the decals all through the cafeteria and the gym so the children know where to stand when they go up to get their lunch. Our cafeteria service has been awesome. Because the lunches that we started to serve today, they are all prepackaged. Mm-hmm. So it makes it go very quickly. Once they're ordered, the children just go up and they are handed. It's all ready to go. It's like if today was the first full day of the longer lunch period, you know, the cafeteria and the recess period. And it went very well. And each day will get a little bit smoother.
Sure. Thank you.
How are the kids, especially the younger kids, doing with the masks on all day?
Once again, they are very resilient, and I think it's because they're used to it. They've had masks on since March. Most families have, again, we put information out to the families a couple weeks before school, asking them if you haven't had your children wearing a mask, please practice with them, get in the habit of wearing it. We haven't had a problem. We've had one or two children that wore a mask like you have on, they kind of like pulled it off and torn it, and we've talked to the parents that we replace those masks with more fabric ones with the ear loops so that they stay on and they can't do that. But most of them, we haven't had a problem at all, and the parents have been cooperative with sending one or two masks, extra masks in the backpack so that they have an extra in case they sneeze or they cough or something and they need to change it. most of our children are wearing the masks. Like we have one with the loops, some are wearing the gaiters. We prefer the masks. But parents, just some parents have to be reminded that you just have to make sure that the mask is properly fitted, that it's not too big. Because when they're too big or loose, they slip down, you know, below their nose. And again, the parents have been wonderful with sending the children with masks that their children seem to be comfortable wearing. So far, so good.
Right. I know that was a big concern when our parents were
Absolutely. And today, the first day, while we're wearing the mask today. But again, they have a break from mask when they have their lunch. They have scheduled breaks in their classrooms with the teachers, depending on the grade level, what's appropriate. When they go outside, if they can be socially distanced. So we have really been working on appropriate mask breaks and now extending them in outside areas when the weather's nice and out of the day's long.
Fantastic. Thank you.
When they go out on the equipment on the playgrounds, how is that cleaned or sanitized?
Absolutely. We're starting off slow because right now we're getting into a routine with the custodians and the cafeteria staff with cleaning the tables in between the lunch periods. So what we're doing right now is we're rotating, and there's only one class right now that's allowed to use the equipment a day so that it can be cleaned after school. And as we get into a better routine with the cleaning, we're hoping we'll be able to clean somewhere in between so that in the afternoon, another grade will maybe go out on a break to be able to use the equipment. But right now, we're just rotating and using it once a day for one class.
Ms. Graziano, please thank the teachers for being creative with the mask breaks and just, you know, utilizing the good weather. I know it's not easy to take a class, let them go outside for 5 minutes and then bring them back in. Hopefully the kids are cooperating, but I know that that is much appreciated. So please thank them.
I will pass that on. And yes, they have been very creative. And again, once again, parents have been wonderful. We ask them to bring in beach blankets.
Great.
And they take their children out, their class out to different areas around the school building and do a lesson outside on a beach towel.
That's awesome.
And that's been very positive also.
Yeah,
but I will share that. Well, thank you very much, and again, it's so good to be back.
Thanks,
thank you.
Megan?
Good evening, everyone. First, I would just like to say what a pleasure it is to be here with all of you this evening and to have spent this time here in the Manasquan School District. It truly is my pleasure to serve this community, and this transition has been a wonderful one for me despite the unusual circumstances. So thank you to everyone. I also would be remiss if I did not say thank you to Colleen, who's been helping me to transition into Manasquan Elementary School. She has been wonderful and a great source of support. And I also want to just echo what Colleen and Rob said previously about our facilities and maintenance staff, our secretarial staff, our teachers, our counselors. We have really a wonderful group of people who are so dedicated to children and to making sure that the children come back to a truly wonderful experience, that it makes all the difference. So thank you to everyone who made that possible. In grades 5 to 8, we are off to a great start with both our virtual and our in-person instruction. We currently have 16 virtual students in grades 5 through 8. Our virtual students are meeting with their teachers, they're getting lots of live interaction and lots of support. Our virtual teachers are teaching from Manasquan Elementary School in a variety of locations, so they're also able to tap into the collaboration with their colleagues and making sure that they are, you know, providing a high quality curricular experience for our virtual learners, so we're grateful for that. In-person instruction has been really focused in these initial phases on transitioning students back to school, ensuring that the children feel comfortable and safe in their classroom environments, making sure they're building relationships with their teachers and with one another. The social emotional piece is incredibly important when it comes to these, you know, middle school years, and we want to make sure that our students know that their social emotional health is important to us as well as their academic health. So there's been a lot of focus on that during this time. Some of the things that we do to help everyone to feel safe and comfortable are visible in the school. You can see some of the photos that we have. We have our decals on the floor, obviously emphasizing 6-foot distance. Our bathroom system is designed to make sure that there are not too many students in the bathroom at once, so we have a post-it note system on the door. Each bathroom has a capacity that is safe. The children, when they go in the bathroom, they put a post-it note on the door, and then when they leave, they take their post-it note off. So if you approach a door and all three are full, as they are in the photo, you would wait outside until someone comes out to take their post-it off. So the children are doing a beautiful job of adhering to those guidelines. It's nice to see them, you know, taking it very seriously. You know, people ask about masks. The children are being wonderful about wearing their masks. They're very respectful about the mask usage. They are, you know, not pulling them down, taking them off. They're not giving people a hard time about the masks. The masks are really second nature at this point, and it was nice to see how quickly they transitioned into that process. These students are very happy to be in school and to be with their peers, so that has been very nice to see. When I walk by classrooms and I peek in, I see teachers actively, you know, teaching, and I see the children are learning and smiling, and they're able to talk and collaborate with each other despite the fact that they're spaced carefully 6 feet apart and wearing their masks. So that has been really a pleasure. One of the things that we really focused on for this opening of school was the routines and procedures related to lunch and recess. It's very important that the children are moving in a systematic way throughout the building so that they're not crossing over each other. We are making a lot of effort in grades 5 through 8 to maintain the cohorting of the children so that they're remaining with the same group of children throughout the day and they're only exposed to that certain number of people. So in order to make that happen, we've planned carefully out the seating in the cafeteria as well as their areas for recess. So we have a map that's up here where, you know, different cohorts are in different areas of our recess area. Those are rotated on a weekly basis, so they're not stuck in the same, you know, part for the whole year, but just that's a rotational basis so that they're able to have plenty of room to move around with their cohort, but they're remaining safe and they're not co-mingling. Another thing that we are doing is making sure that we are staggering some of the going to lunch and recess and the dismissals from lunch and recess so that we're not flooding our hallways with a large number of students at once. So that's been going really well, and the teachers have been very cooperative in maintaining the choreography of all of that to make sure that the students are staying safe. One additional thing that's been happening at the start of the school year is that our students in grades 6 through 8 got their ID badges. We deliver them with their lanyards, and they're all wearing them. They're actually quite proud of them. It's nice to see them, you know, wearing their badges and taking that seriously. We've had to issue very few temporary IDs, so they're coming to school with them just as they are coming to school with their masks, so that's been great as well. We're looking forward to our virtual back-to-school night coming up. Our back-to-school night is going to involve our teachers providing live, you know, conversation with parents and explaining about their courses. The parents will have the opportunity to follow the children's schedule, meet all of their teachers, and we're looking forward to that opportunity to get to know the teachers a little bit more through the parents. We do have our virtual PTO meeting coming up, as Colleen mentioned before. And while, you know, fundraising, we're in a lot of talks about fundraising. Our eighth grade was very excited, our eighth grade parents, that they were able to move together and move forward with their traditional mom sale for their fundraiser. So that is ongoing right now. Does anybody have any questions?
I did have a question. I think maybe I should have asked Mr. Graziano, but I think one of the reasons that we're all confident in the reopening was because of the new HVAC systems, and the fact that, you know, we feel like they're efficient and up and running. Have you noticed yet that that's the case, and or have there been any problem? You know, we used to have pockets of problems and pockets of temperatures and everything's.
No, we've been no problems so far this year. Absolutely. Great.
Well, Megan, I want to welcome you to your first presentation, and you did a great job, as usual, and welcome to Manasquan.
Thank you, Dustin.
That concludes our principal presentation.
Yep. So that brings us to our public forum on agenda items. Time may be allotted for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears that the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes. The presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes in duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer, shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by any individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portion of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of performance of, promotion or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comments on the agenda only. Would anyone like to speak on agenda items?
My name is Julie Kokoza. I live at 45 North Potter Avenue in Manasquan. I don't represent any group. I am a grandmother of a kindergarten child, and my daughter started here in 1992 in Manasquan Elementary. So she's following her mother. I know that recently, the last several months, in real estate, there's a real boom in real estate in this area. So I was wondering if this has had an effect on the enrollment from 2019 to today. But did you see an increase of people moving into the Manasquan district?
I think in the elementary school, I believe we're actually down one student from last year.
Oh, okay. So it really happened.
The high school is up significantly, but that's mainly because of the size of the eighth grade classes that came in.
Okay. The other thing I would like to commend this board and the administration for going to a 5-day, full-day program, unlike other schools in the area. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to be heard on agenda items? All right, that'll bring us to our second public forum. Would anyone like to be heard on any item that is not on the agenda? Okay. Seeing no one, we'll move on. Go on to our discussion items. I'll hand it over to Dr. Cajun.
Thank you. We're now going to move into the Committee of the Whole regarding education, curriculum, and technology. I'd like to focus on education first. Currently, we have 91 students from the high school that are in our virtual learning platform, and we have 40, as you heard this evening, from our elementary school, which represents about 7% and 8%. So we have roughly 92% of the population of Manasquan's school district actively engaged personally in the school system. And I think, I know from what you heard this evening and my own observations, that we had a very clean start of the school year. Other than the fact that, as you can see this evening, we ran out of laptops, except for the business administrator, who's gone. But that's okay. That is a testament to the fact that we currently have in district 1,550 students, which says a lot for the people that are here, the administrative team, the teachers. They have developed an educational platform that people realize is something that's of value. So we have, as you know from what we sent out in the Friday packet, our enrollment has increased. For several reasons. And I think COVID-19 was part of it, as we got quite a few transfer students in. But the point I'm trying to make is that educationally, that concept of having a bar of excellence has been realized. And I really have to compliment, as several people have already, our staff and those people who ensure that our staff have the tools that they need to make learning valuable as it is, and that's the administrators. To that point, however, I don't really believe that when we did our restart plan, which we were planning since June, that parents realized that the virtual world they were going into was going to be different than the virtual world they experienced on March 13th. On March 13th, you had a school district that needed to create a sense of normalcy that was not offering parents a choice. We went into a virtual world with staff, and we created a everyday schedule very similar to the schedule that they had in school. There was a period schedule. Students were responsible to log on at a certain time and get the instruction from their teachers. The virtual world that we have created now still embraces those methodologies that we saw so effectively being transferred to the student body in March, but the schedule is different. And the schedule is different because of the fact that we have given this community a choice. Our teachers are here every day, and they're teaching in the physical world. So therefore, to create a virtual world, we have to do it in a timely fashion according to the time that the teachers have to do that. As we created these two worlds, it was in excess of $100,000 that it cost us out of our general budget to ensure that we could populate that virtual world with teachers, grade level and department level, that could coordinate this. So I have heard some complaints from parents, and I'm sure you have as well, that the virtual world is not the same as the virtual world that we had developed before. But we knew that going in, because it was going to be different, because of the nature of the tools that we had to utilize it. However, there are some consistencies. The methodologies employed by the instructors are the same. The tools that we use are the same. You heard two tools mentioned this evening, Canvas and MS Teams. We utilize those. Mr. Coppola has been very focused on ensuring that the virtual teaching that's going on has up to our standards of excellence. However, the schedules are different. So I wanted to put that out there just in case you've heard anything in the community about our virtual experience. And we're doing the best we can. We cannot duplicate what we did in March for the mere fact that I do not have the manpower for that. So also, we had our equity subcommittee chairs give us the goals that they have created, and I want to thank them for that. My assistant superintendent, myself, and the business administrator, we focused on the goals that were given to us from the equity committee, retooled them, sent them back to all the chairs, and I want to thank the chairs of each committee for Humanities, Carly Ann Ruiz, from STEM, Christine Melfi, from the arts, Mr. Goodall, from the at-risk populations, Kiernan Dugan. And the at-risk population, I think, really focused on a lot of the intricate needs that our students have, and they did a good job with that. From community culture and symbolism, Jamie Honorato, and our extracurricular involvement, Marissa Melillo. Why do I bring that up? I bring that up because I want the board to know, even though we're not talking about this, we are actively engaged in moving forward with our equity committee, moving towards our presentation. I believe it's going to be in November, and we do have another committee meeting coming up in October, where we will create our goals and objectives and also develop our action plans to move forward. To that point, every person involved in the diversity committee, equity committee, has been given the book Solving Disproportionality and Achieving Equity. And we've asked them to read this, then come back to us and let us know, us being the administrative team, if they felt it was a valuable experience. And if so, we could then give this to our staff and start reading groups with our staff, chaired by this committee, to discuss what's in this book. We also have planned several speakers to come in and present to the committee itself first. And then the committee will decide if they feel like that presentation should be tuned into the staff and the student body. So I wanted the board to know that we have been actively engaged in our equity committee, even though it's been sort of in the background right now and silently being done. It's not forgotten. They're working diligently. I compliment the staff that are actively engaged in it. And you will be getting results, I believe, by the November meeting. I'll have a presentation from the equity committee. Any questions about that? Thank you. Also, it has been brought to my attention something that we've discussed, where being the business administrator, myself, and my assistant superintendent, about the possibility of developing a policy for siblings. Some school districts have developed a policy that if a tuition parent is paying for one child to go to district and they have a sibling that they send to the school, that sibling is charged partial tuition for that. And I was asked to bring that to the board and for your thoughts, and if you would like to discuss that at our next meeting, I can bring an example of a policy to you so you can see what that is. Currently, we have 5 students in district who also have their paid tuition and they have siblings. So the parents are paying for both children. Other districts have developed policies that charge for the first child and then charge for half of the second child. I'm going to turn this over to Mr. Crawley right now because I know you have a number to associate with that, mm-hmm. to give you an idea of what that would cost the district if you feel that was a piece of fairness and equity.
Yeah, sure. So they, as Dr. Cage mentioned, there are 5 families with multiple students enrolled in the district. There are different tuition levels. Some are in pre-K and some are in the elementary school level. So, and some are in the high school level, excuse me. So there's different tuitions charged at each level, but were this policy to be enacted at this moment, basically, is how I calculated it. The resulting reduction in our tuition revenue would be $13,862. To give you an idea of what the order of magnitude of our tuition revenue is, for this year, we're projecting $242,454. So that number would come down by close to $14,000 should this policy be enacted.
But like any other business, this might be something that would attract other people to come because of the excellence in education in Manasquan and the fact that they could get something for the second child that comes here. Let me see, our statistics are parent paid tuitions in the high school, currently we have 20. Parent paid tuitions at the elementary school, we have 24. And that was a goal of mine going back to when Mr. Pellegrino and I sat down and we talked about building programs in the high school that would attract tuition students. And we have several different academies that have evolved because of that. I know that COVID-19 has something to do with this, but I don't think it has everything to do with it. So all I'm doing is putting out there a possibility to create a policy, because the board creates policies, if you thought this was something that you wanted to look into. Any questions about that, since it is committee of a whole?
I have a question.
Yeah.
The surrounding school districts, how many of them have a similar policy?
That's one of those questions, Alexis, I'm going to go like this with. Dr. Crawley?
I will have to research that. I don't have that information.
Which I would have said the same thing. But that's a great question. And we could bring that to the next board meeting,
yes.
along with examples of policies. And again, it's something you could think about, and it's up to the board. Any other questions about it?
Just a comment. I think that it's always great to look to create more equity, but we do have to take into consideration that we accept tuition students from the sending districts that are obligated to come here and obligated to pay a certain amount. And every time we tweak that number, because we have in the past, because we had empty seats,
right,
you have to keep in mind that we are beholden to the Senate districts to a certain extent because they provide us with a majority of the students. So it's while it seems like it's an obvious thing to do, it might not be as obvious as you think when you really take into consideration Senate districts. That's just, I know it's probably not what you wanted to hear, but.
Oh, I want to hear everything, but I just want to, it's up for discussion.
And we've always done these things because we had empty seats, and we've grown the population because we've done things that were aggressive to get people. I just don't know at what point in time it becomes counterproductive for the overall organization.
Point well taken. So at the next committee of the whole, we'll talk about this, give you some time to think about it, and at the Friday packet, before that meeting, I'll put in there some policy you can look at about that. And again, it will be just your decision. Okay. Regarding policies, we do have a revision tonight on remote learning options for families. You've had this policy before. You have looked at it. I'm going to turn the finance portion of the committee of the whole over to Dr. Crowley.
Yep, thank you, Dr. Cajun. And just to follow up, to add additional context to that conversation for the next meeting, I'll have surrounding communities' tuition rates as well as their policies on campus price, so we can take a look at that. The first thing I want to address, and has now come up a number of times this evening, and that's enrollment and tuition, and how those two interact with one another. So given the crisis and a number of factors that are going on, we've had some changes in our enrollment, and I'd just like to review some specific subgroups and how they've moved since June 30th to the beginning of the school year. Parent paid tuition students at the Manasquan Elementary School, we actually had a decrease of one of those net attending the elementary school. At the high school, we've had an increase of four parent paid tuition. So the net parent paid tuition increase into the district is three. The out of district faculty students, so in the, as you guys know, in the MEA agreement, it allows for teachers and staff members to bring their students either free of charge or half price at the high school level for some staff. So we've had an increase of out of district faculty students at the elementary school of 16 students, and we've had an increase of out of district faculty students at the high school of 3 students. Gene mentioned this before, the total enrollment at the elementary school is actually down 1 student. The total enrollment at the high school is up 60 students, so a pretty significant increase at the high school there, and that amounts to a net increase in the district of 59 students. So just some numbers for you to be aware of and how we're moving.
Mr. Clark, before you go on, the increase in the MHS students, how many of that is tuition based?
MES tuition.
Center district tuition.
At MES?
At MHS.
The increase in students at the Senate district students is 33 at MHS. To Tom's point, to elaborate on the Senate districts was where I was going next, is as you guys know, we budget based on numbers given to us by the Senate district in terms of how many students they're going to have enrolled here. That's how our annual tuition is calculated. They pay their tuition for this year based on that budgeted rate. And then in 2 years from now, actually two fiscal years from now, they catch up to the adjusted rate and pay what it actually costs per kid to send you. That can move up, that can move down, depending on how many kids attend and how many kids, and how much money is spent. However, big differences can result in significant impacts to sending district budgets as they may have to pay large tuition adjustments for years past that are above and beyond what they would have paid just in normal tuition. So I do want to bring to your attention, I'll just go through each town to let you know where each town stands. Avon is sending 3 fewer kids than they said they were going to send and were budgeted for. Belmar is sending 19 additional students. So that's a pretty significant difference and something to be aware of. Lake Como is sending 3.5 fewer students than they advised us. Seagirt is sending 1.5 more students. Spring Lake is sending 5 fewer students, and Spring Lake Heights is sending 17 additional students. So those 17s and 19s, those are something I'll be in contact with the business administrators and have been in contact with the business administrators. It's going to be something they're going to, need to be aware of and plan for.
a pretty significant tuition adjustment in future years. Just if you're curious, a half a student represents a shared time student in most vocational schools. So that's where we're at with the sending districts. Like I said, we have a pretty good relationship and we'll continue communication, but that is something that's going to have to be on their budgetary horizon for fiscal year 22.
Pete, I didn't hear Brielle. Did you say Brielle?
If I didn't, I apologize and I will. Oh, no, I didn't read Brielle because they were showing up as a perfect zero. They are sending exactly the amount of kids that they have
at the start.
It's us, perfect zero.
That's
which is
funny.
Is notable because you also send the most kids and it's difficult to predict. So 228 kids, but it did 228 kids in school. So congrats on that.
Can you put numbers on Spring Lake Heights and Belmar?
I did. Heights is 17.
I'm talking about dollar signs. Or is that too much to do right?
So, you know, that's a moving target because of the tuition adjustment process. But right now that would look like for 19 students, you'd be looking at a $315,000 tuition adjustment should the tuition rate stand at $16,616.
Okay.
So, yeah, like I said, it's significant. So, and $282,472 at the Heights. It's something that, if that discrepancy stands, they are going to need to start thinking about now. So that's why we're going to continue, you know, that open line of communication with them.
Yeah, that's why it's very important that we focus on this 2 years in advance and that we all try to get perfect zeros. I mean, from our vantage point, so we don't have to owe the sending districts and the sending districts don't have to owe us because, you know, we're all in that financial crunch and we have to watch our general budget. So that's one of the reasons why we brought it up this evening.
And it's difficult to say, you know, that could be from private school tuition, students from sending districts choosing not to pay tuition because their schools are going virtual. You know, there's a number of factors affecting that, but, it's just something that we all need to be aware of as we enter budget season.
I'm sure COVID had something to do with it.
Any other questions about the tuition before we move on to my next bullet here? All right, the next bullet is an HVAC bullet, but across the street, not here. We recently became aware of a collapsed breaching on the boiler in the elementary school. Breaching is a technical term basically for the chimney, the exhaust. Our Joe McDermott, our on-site construction manager, took a look at it in the last week, and his opinion is that it might be a faulty construction when it was installed in the building in 2012. We have the actual installer, which was the Cess Engineering, coming out on Thursday to take a look. And although he's not here to receive another compliment, Rob Notley and Mark LaRusso, who is Rob you met, and Mark LaRusso, who's our engineer on the HVAC project here, spent this afternoon down in the basement at the elementary school with me looking at that, gratis, free of charge, just to help us out. So again, thank you for their help. However, the issue at hand is the collapsed breaching. Their time is kind of the essence here. It's going to take about four weeks to fix the breaching, and technical heating season per the NJDOE is October 15th. So it's something we have to take action on pretty quickly. We've been in contact with Mr. Gross's office regarding how we can receive remuneration from that company, the Cess Engineering. However, it still has to be determined and mutually agreeable between the two of us that it was caused by an inappropriate or a faulty construction. So they'll come Thursday to consult with myself, Matt, and Joe McDermott. Hopefully we can come to an agreement that's the case and they'll move forward fixing it and that'll be that. That being said, you'll see number 40 on your agenda is a withdrawal from the capital reserve account to cover the cost of that in full should it need to be covered. Should this go to any kind of litigation or any kind of drawn out process, it's going to be necessary to have cash available to pay for the breaching, which is quoted in at $38,600. That withdrawal does not mean it's being spent. It means it's being made available for this specific project. If on Thursday things go as we're hoping, which is the assessor says, sorry, we'll get this fixed for you by October 15th free of charge, that money will just be carried and returned back to the capital reserve fund. If it does not, and this comes a multi-year litigation process, or I say multi-year, I mean past June 30, that will allow for us to use that money and then hopefully refund that account when Michael and team are successful in getting us our fair share back. So that's the reason for number 40. That's the status of the boiler downstairs. We are going to have to make a decision on this by the end of this week, really, but just because of timing. So if the CESA is giving us a hard time and or it's determined that it is not the CESA's fault, we will then have to execute this $38,600 contract with them through that capital reserve account. Also, so you're aware that contract, that quote, the low quote, is TPI, who's doing the project here. So in terms of quality control, we're very comfortable with them working on our system. All right, it's a little complex, but does that kind of make sense where we're at? This is all very quickly developing, and just want to make sure we're all aware of it. All right, thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you. If there aren't any other questions, that concludes the committee of the whole for tonight.
Yep. Move on to superintendent's report.
Now, we do have the approval of the following resolution to designate October 23rd through October 31st as School Violence Awareness Week and Red Ribbon Week. Would you like to read that resolution, Gene, or just have everyone read it to themselves?
I'll read it.
All righty.
All right. Whereas the Manasquan Board of Education values the health and safety of all students, and whereas substance abuse is particularly damaging to one of our most valuable resources, our children, and a contributing factor in the three leading causes of death for teenagers, accidents, homicides, and suicides, and whereas it is the goal of School Violence Awareness Week, Red Ribbon Weeks, and the Manasquan School District to involve families, schools, businesses, churches, law enforcement agencies, and service organizations in all aspects of this campaign and establishes an atmosphere that supports awareness, education, and ongoing initiatives to prevent illegal drug and alcohol use. And whereas the School Violence Awareness Red Ribbon Week's campaign theme promotes family and individual responsibilities for living healthy, drug-free lifestyles without illegal drugs and alcohol, or the illegal use of drugs and alcohol. And whereas the Manasquan School District shall plan activities in conjunction with Red Ribbon Week campaign, which supports awareness, education, and promoting a healthy lifestyle for the students and the families of the Manasquan School District. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Manasquan Board of Education does hereby proclaim October 19th to October 31st, 2020, as Red Ribbon Week.
Good. Thank you very much. Enrollment, total enrollment as of September 9th, 1,550. High school, 1,015. Elementary school, 535. No reports for fire drills this month, suspensions and tardies. Regarding harassment, intimidation, and bullying, high school had one incident, not found out to be harassment, intimidation, and bullying. Elementary school, both the upper and lower elementary school, no report for the month. Now I'm going to turn this over to the Assistant Superintendent of Schools, Mr. Place.
Thank you. Just as some brief technology updates, before the newspaper headline is written, I want to correct some possible fake news. We did not run out of laptops. We did have to reposition some assets.
Yeah, I know. Never mind. So, I see who counts. There's three people with laptops at the table. I don't see us with them. Right, exactly.
You're not supposed to notice that.
Okay.
I do apologize to the board for not having laptops this evening. As Dr. Cajun said, and Dr. Crowley's been talking about the enrollment, you know, the high school is about plus 60 students right now. In a normal summer, that wouldn't be too much of a problem. We'd just buy some more laptops. But this summer, the supply chains have been particularly sensitive to that. We did get some in. We have some more ordered. I hope to have that corrected by October. But anyway, in the meantime, we did need to use most all the laptops that we had here for a lot of our students. So the enrollment is obviously a good thing, and we're putting some strain on that. So with that, you know, we went through the laptop distribution process in a little bit different way this year, as some of you might know if you experienced it as parents. We had 10 sessions during the school day, two sessions at night, and to date. And also, we also gave out the middle school laptops prior to school, which we've never done before. And all doing that during the social distancing and making appointments and things like that. So overall, it went very smoothly. To date, we've distributed about over 1,200 laptops to those students. The board will recall, in August, we amended our student laptop policy to increase the use fee from $50 to $60. With that increase, about 89% of parents still chose to pay the use fee. That's right on target where we were last year. And also about 40% of parents used the new online pay school system to make that payment. So that was good to see that that's going well for most people. So that's where we are in terms of technology.
A lot of thanks went to a lot of people tonight, and I don't want you to think that we just take you for granted. I want to thank you and the technology team and Tara Hudson as well, because you gave out a very important tool to all our students with the one-to-one initiative, especially in this virtual environment that we exist in, and you did it flawlessly, without a hiccup, without even bothering me, which was amazing. So really, I want to thank you and your team, and Tara, you guys did a great job giving out the laptop. So it was without incident, so thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of the team, we got a great team, so we appreciate that compliment.
You're welcome. Now I'd like to introduce Mr. Coppola, who has a report from our Director of Curriculum and Instruction.
Thank you, Dr.
Out in the cheap seat.
Can't see Rick. What'd you say, Rick? wanted to thank the board for their support with everything that we get to do to put this school year together. It's, you know, the words unprecedented and normalcy seems to be, I don't hear this word again anytime soon, that'll be fine with me, but the support that you've offered to us, you know, at all levels has really been paramount in us getting the school year off to a really good start. And one thing I just wanted to mention was, and I think this is important, but there was so much work that was done over the summer that really set the foundation for a successful school open. And that goes back to a lot of the efforts all our administrators and our teachers and our staff and technology people, just in terms of providing opportunities for professional development for our teachers, and also you know, at the elementary school, you know, running our ESY program, Mr. Graziano opening up our summer skills program to all students. We started up our ELL program again after 5 years, so we talked to parents to bring kids back and provide that foundation to try to address the learning gaps before the school year started. And I truly think that those steps that were taken over the summer by everyone really put us in a good spot to open. And I think that's really a credit to everyone involved, the administrators, the teachers, the Board of Education, technology, everyone. So I think that that's really an important piece to consider. Just some of the specific things that we did over the summer, just very quickly, thank you for all of your work in reviewing the curriculum writing that was done. Teachers finished a very, obviously a very stressful year last spring. We had over 20 teachers agree to write curriculum over the summer. We used the new platform. We did use Microsoft Teams to go through that process. And we're very proud of the products that we put forth. One of the key initiatives that we had, and I mentioned this back in the spring, was the LGBT and disabled person contributions that we needed to infuse into our curriculum grades 6 to 12. And the teachers that did agree to do that, we made a decision as a district to have those teachers trained and to have them be a part of the Monmouth County Curriculum Association Consortium to receive online training, and they were able to collaborate with teachers and administrators from other districts as well as representatives from the state that kind of helped guide that process. So that was really the key element of that process. We also had some of our expert teachers come back and develop virtual training modules where they were content specific. So some of our teachers that had a lot of success in the spring in teaching and embracing technology, we had those teachers kind of put together these training modules that are available to all our teachers. So we've had a lot of teachers training teachers through that process. And you know, the last piece that she was mentioned before, Mr. Place and Lisa Kokoda and her team, in terms of the instructional technology, the training that she offered in Microsoft Teams, live streaming, creating on-demand videos, which Mr. Goodall mentioned some of our teachers are doing. All of this occurred over the summer. And while this was voluntary, we got a number of teachers that were involved in going through this. So to kind of commit to having a, you know, having a strong opening and to be ready for the school year. Just to stay in the realm of professional development, on September 8th, we had Learning Sciences come in. Learning Sciences is a group that we worked with a consortium with the Brick Schools last year. Learning Sciences specializes in student teaching, establishing rigor and SEL strategies with students. What we did on September 8th, all teachers at the high school and the elementary school went through a half-day training with them. It was a virtual training where teachers were provided with strategies and also provided with resources for not only a live classroom, but also a virtual classroom. The reason that we did this to start the year moving forward is we wanted to stress the idea of establishing relationships with students in different educational settings. If some of the kids were starting virtually, what were those connections that that teachers were going to make with those students, having not had them in the regular classroom like they did last year? So that's something that's going to continue throughout the year. Our professional development is built around our relationship with Learning Sciences. We're going to get feedback from teachers, and we're going to tailor the PD moving forward based on that feedback. One of the things on both sides of the street that we've been stressing with teachers in these coming weeks has been obviously gauging where your students are, and that's not only in terms of learning, but where they are in terms of their emotions and their social and emotional states. So a lot of our teachers have been incorporating really meaningful assignments to kind of gauge where these learners are. Some of the steps that we've taken, we're asking our teachers to try to address learning gaps. If they see any gaps in specific classes or individual students, to focus on those, gaps and fill those gaps so we can move the learning process forward. Teachers have been provided with a number of different resources, online resources to help them with this. They'll also be given information from the state of New Jersey that talks specifically about prioritizing specific skills at different grade levels and different content areas. So all of those resources are made available to them. Dr. Cajun mentioned the Equity Committee. I met with one of the subcommittee chairs today. That's an exciting group moving forward. There's a lot of different things that we're looking at, including courses, including collaborating with other schools. So I'm sure we'll have a lot of good news out of that group. And the last thing I would say in terms of professional development, we work with the Monmouth County Curriculum Directors Consortium. I'm a member of that group. We will be involving teachers on both sides of the street in a collaboration with that group. They will have the opportunity to share ideas with other districts and administrators. So that's also an exciting piece. And again, I just wanted to thank everybody for their support in getting the school year off to a great start. And I did want to recognize four people that have been supporting the principals in this district, Ms. Graziano and Mr. Goodall and Ms. Panetta, as building principals. It's opening a building is a daunting experience. To do so under these circumstances is really extraordinary. Your leadership went a long way with your staff. I know that that's a big part of where we are right now. And I also want to recognize Ms. Kenny for scheduling a high school under unbelievable circumstances, virtually and otherwise. So great job. Thank you.
Thanks, Rick. I just to reiterate, the focus on professional development, to master the virtual learning platform, we had spoken about this going back in March. It takes professional development. And upon arriving here, Mr. Goodall started this process with a new model, the SAMOR model. Lisa Kokoda has been actively engaged with developing the Canvas platform that we have, so teachers can utilize all of its areas. And then recently we brought in Learning Sciences, and Rick did a good job with that, to help teachers develop methodologies to make them more comfortable in the virtual world and to become masters at that, to be as good in the virtual world as they are in the classroom. But it's an ongoing process. It's not going to happen overnight. I want the board to understand that's our goal as we move forward, because we realize that the virtual world is not going away. We're going to be utilizing that more and more. It'll never substitute for having a teacher in front of the children. I'm not saying that. But we can get better at what we do. And we realize that, and it's professional development that's going to help us get there. We are committed to that. So I wanted to thank Rick and my administrators for helping us get this off the ground. And it is. Now our director of school counseling services, who spent many sleepless nights scheduling our high school in both the virtual world and the physical world because of the unreasonable superintendent that she works with. This is Kenny.
Additionally, we spent a lot of time, going through student transcripts and making sure that, we were on track. One of the things that came out of the last couple of months is that, we have the ability now to reach out to students and families a little more easily. leave, students are working during the day, or parents are working during the day. You know, just the opportunity to meet with families virtually will help the counselors to plan and work with small groups. You know, moving forward in the fall, it's a challenging time because we usually do all of our outreach programs and our recruiting process begins for the elementary schools in the K-8. So one of the counselors, myself, Ms. Zaliski, we are already working on articulation with the sending district to begin this recruiting process. You know, we're scheduling virtual college visits, you know, small group meetings, college planning on the back to school night that we're having this Thursday at the high school. Counselors will be presenting a college application process workshop virtually to parents. As much as things were different this year, but things were the same in the sense of, you know, students are already applying to colleges for next year. They're already, you know, making sure that they have, you know, everything set up so that they have a smooth application process. And so we're working on making sure that that is all seamless. And finally, the PSAT test is still a test that is being given by College Board. We met today as a committee and determined that in order to safely and effectively bring in students for the PSAT test, they did offer, College Board has now added one day. Normally they give you one day, one school day a year to give the test. They have added one date, which allows us to break the groups up into smaller groups. A decision was made today that we are going to bring in the juniors only for the PSAT testing on Wednesday, October 14th. This way we can bring in the one junior class and have smaller classrooms to make sure that we are safely socially distancing the students. So we have about 18 classrooms, 15 students in each classroom. So as we're doing the PSAT test for the junior class, the rest of the school, freshmen, sophomores, and seniors, will be doing a virtual school day to make sure that we have, you know, continuous instruction. And then with the date that PSAT has added in January, we're hopeful that by that time circumstances may be a little different and we're going to be bringing in the sophomores and or giving the freshmen the opportunity to be taking the PSAT test as well. So, you know, it was important that we made sure that juniors were taking the test in October because they are the test takers that can qualify for National Merit Month. So business as usual in terms of but again, thank you, and you know, having students back, I think, is really, you know, why we do this. The planning is one thing, but the implementing, you know, makes it all worth it. So thank you.
Thank you very much. And having a virtual class that day doesn't stop instruction from happening. Or we had several choices, but this was the best of the choices that we had. Because we feel that the PSATs are a very important test for juniors, especially for their transcripts, especially for getting some financial remuneration for going to college. And having said that, I do want you to remember that we created two other virtual school days so that the staff could have a day to practice the virtual world with the students. We discussed this. And it just so happens that one of those days is also in that week. If I'm incorrect, Mr. Place, please correct me if I'm wrong. So and I know you'll take pleasure in this, on the 15th, from my recollection, is the day for the PSATs, correct? That is a Thursday?
It's Wednesday, 14th. October
14th. All right, October 14th is a Wednesday?
Yes.
On that Friday, which was October 16th, that was the day we chose for the virtual day for the both sides of the street. This virtual day is only for the high school. You realize that? Okay. Am I correct?
As always, you are correct.
I'm so happy. Sandy, please tell me you got that on tape.
Absolutely.
Thank you. So just for the board's knowledge, I didn't want to move past that in case you have any questions. That week we'll have two virtual days. This is the reason why. Only two virtual days in the high school, one virtual day in the elementary school and the high school, which is already planned anyway. Seeing that there are no, yes, Joe.
Dr. Cajun, I just wanted to say for Ms. Kenny and everyone else that was involved, both personally and then the feedback from other parents, the freshman orientation, the fact that you guys were able to do it live, a lot of nerves, obviously, for the freshmen, having one myself going into that, but it was extremely helpful, made them a lot more comfortable, you know, knowing the school, you know, kind of seeing where to go. It just got great feedback. So thank you for pulling that together and being able to do that live.
That is a big thank you to them, Joe. To be honest with you, when they brought that to me, I was not a fan.
Yep.
Because I'm trying to keep things as safe and secure as possible.
Yeah.
But they felt it was extremely important, and I understand with sending a group of children coming here. And it was well done. It was safely done, and we even served lunch that day, which worked.
Yep.
So, again, it's the people who you have surrounding you that's important. So, thank you. That concludes the superintendent's report.
Do we have a motion to accept the superintendent's report?
Yes.
Mr. Burns, Mr. Serena?
Mr. Boldeman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Patani?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Thanks, Mark.
Mr. Angolia?
Yes.
Mr. Lucretta?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serena?
Yes.
Harry?
Moves us to the Manasquan general items. Does anyone need anything separated out, item 15 through 24? Does anyone have any questions on items 15 through 24? We have a motion for items 15 through 24. Ms. Bassone, Ms. Pollock?
Mr. Boldeman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Patani?
Yes.
Mr. Lucretta?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serena?
Yes.
Harry?
Brings us to the Manasquan Sending District's general items. Does anyone need anything separated out, items 25 through 39? Does anyone have any questions, items 25 through 39? Do we have a motion for items 25 through 39? Mr. Lufredo? Mr. Serena?
Mr. Boldeman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Patani?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Mark?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Angolia?
Yes.
Mr. Lucretta?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serena?
Yes.
Harry?
Does anyone have any old business they'd like to discuss? Does anyone have any new business they'd like to discuss? So that'll bring us to our executive session. Whereas the Senator Byron M. Baer Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, the Act, provides that the Manasquan Board of Education hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or are one of nine subject matters listed in Section B of the Act, where it is recommended by the superintendent that the Manasquan Board of Education go into executive session on this date in Manasquan, New Jersey, to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 30 minutes, after which the public meeting of the board shall reconvene and proceed with business. And whereas the board hereby declares that its discussion of the following subjects will be made public at a time when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Manasquan Board of Education, that the board shall go into executive session to discuss the following items: confidential matters per statute or court orders, the student matter, and personnel matters, hiring, leave of absence, and resignation. Items discussed in executive session will result in board action when the board reconvenes to public session. Do we have a Motion to go into executive session.
Yes.
Mr. Burns, Mr. Lofredo, all in favor?
Aye.
Are we staying?
Put this back on. Okay. Mr. Boldman?
Yes.
Mrs. Fasson?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Patani?
Yes.
Mr. Fury?
Yep.
Up four and a third.
Mr. Hobbin? Mr. Magolia?
Here.
Mr. Lenhart? Mr. Lofredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollak?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
We have the form.
Do we have a motion for the Manasquan personnel items 43? Mr. Pellegrino? Mr. Burns?
Mr. Boldman?
Yes.
Mrs. Fasson?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yeah.
Mr. Patani?
Yes.
Mr. Lofredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollak?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carrie?
Do we have a motion for the Manasquan sending districts personnel item 44? Mr. Boldman? Mr. Magolia?
Mr. Boldman?
Yes.
Mrs. Fasson?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Patani?
Yes.
Mr. Fury?
Yes.
Mr. Magolia?
Yes.
Mr. Lofredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollak?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carrie?
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollak, Mr. Serino, all in favor?
Aye.